within it. Because we're all human beings, right? But if you look, the qualities of a precious human life, one has to have the opportunity to practice Dharma. So you have to have an affinity for it as well. So you have some idea that it's useful. Whereas you can look at many human beings who don't think that, right? So that's not considered a precious human life. Human life, yes. But precious added on to it has certain qualities. And it's really all about having the ability to hear, understand, practice, and having a, you know, I've been doing this studying for 40 years, right? So I have a lot of friends who are Dharma practitioners. As a matter of fact, most of my friends are Dharma practitioners. It's kind of what happens. You get immersed in Dharma and it's just who you hang out with. Actually, other people don't want to even hang out with you. All your bad habits fall away. But just to hear the teachings, you know people who have come to the teachings, right? They've come and, yeah, makes sense. But they don't really come regularly and they don't have a practice that they practice. And then there are people who come, who study, but still they don't practice. And then there are people who practice intermittently. Lama Yeshe used to call them mushroom students. Because mushrooms, you know, they just... and then... So we can see that in order to have a precious human life, a precious human life is one that is so rare and so valuable. If you have a wish, Lama, actually many Lamas I've heard this, that if you even have a doubt about reality, you think, maybe, you know, there's that bumper sticker, question reality. Have you ever seen that? I think, you know, that's amazing. Because they say if you question reality, just have a doubt, it tears a hole in the fabric of your samsara. Because the point is, why is it that we're in samsara? Why do we keep spinning? We keep spinning because we keep doing what we've always done and getting what we've always gotten. So until you hear, there's another method. There's another way. We always do what we've always done. We react in the same ways to the stimulus that comes to us. And we think that our unhappiness or our happiness is up there. And it's coming at us. This is what we believe. You know, I've talked about this before. The idea that there's something inherently great about this. Somebody shows me this, you know, and I think, this is fantastic. I need to get one of these. And then what happens? You know, you think, well, if I don't have one of these, it's not going to be great. The next time I go teach somewhere, you know, I won't have it. It won't be so nice. And my mind starts to go along that line. You think about it, I'll get one of those. I want one of those. And that's the way our energy goes. You decide your car is kind of a little bit funky, need a new car. The thought arises, I should get a new car. And then the thought, you're driving around, wonder what kind of car I should get. Oh, I think I'll get a such and such. And then lo and behold, how many times do you see that kind of car on the road? Because your energy's going there. You're looking for it, and you see it. So if I don't get one of these, then I'm not happy. But as soon as I get it, I think, fantastic. So I'm not unhappy anymore that I don't have that. I have it. But then what happens is I can't figure out how to make it work. So immediately I recognized that the happiness which I thought was in this, it wasn't, right? The happiness was in freedom from wanting. Freedom from wanting something other than what is. You check, you look at it, you see. Because as soon as I get this, well, then I'm going to want this. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Our wanting, we call it the desire realm, because we desire, we want. We want everything. And we want something other than what is. And the same thing is true with what we don't want. We think that what we don't want, that one, is the cause of my suffering. I'm going to use David. Because he's so cute. You know? This happens. This happens if you're in a job, you know, you're in a job and you get somebody new on your team, and they just walk in the door and they're introduced to you and just rubs you the wrong way right now. Not, you really can't figure it out. But then you start talking about it. You know, you come home and you tell your roommate or your partner or your children, ah, this new person at work is driving me wild. I just can't stand it. Don't even want to go to work anymore. And you think that your unhappiness about your job is all about that person that you can't stand at work. So then that person leaves because they got transferred, right? And you think, hallelujah, you know, now I'm happy again. But you know, somebody else comes and takes their place. So the happiness that you received as a result of being free from that object of repulsion is the freedom from wanting something other than what is. Check it. You know, cook that. Because it's really important to recognize that. That's the crux of the matter, is believing in what doesn't truly exist. Even you have something, you have a new love in your life. You meet someone and you think, oh, I like that person so much. I really want to get to know them better. And you think about that person and you think about all their good qualities and all the reasons why. And you go out with that person and you have a really good time. And you know, maybe you go out a second time and it's really great. And now you're spinning. Now you're getting it together, because now you've got the house and the picket fence and the two dogs and the two kids and the cat, and you know, you've got the whole future planned out. And it doesn't always work that way. We all know. So we live in a fantasy of something other than what is. That's why if we can practice being present-oriented, right? If we could just practice being present and recognizing when you are in meditation and you have that one moment of peace between thought, between desire, you have that time, you begin to expand that. You know, you're looking at that vast awareness, even right here. Doesn't have to be, you know, when you're doing meditation and you're sending your awareness out, all the way out, and then coming right back in, you can come right back in, but in a neutral space, so that you're right here, but you're with intensity, not tight. You know, Lama used to go, not like this. Just completely strong presence, but watching with wonderment. I use that term because it is like that. It's watching with a curiosity, Because if you have that mind, you're more present. You're more apt to stay put. Because you wonder. You wonder. What do you wonder? You wonder who you are. You wonder what is reality. Without saying the words, you're wondering what's going to happen in the next moment. It's a present wonder. Each moment, into the next. Okay. And when you do that, you can slip into this vast, spacious awareness that lets go. It's in between. It's through. It's like looking through. When you meditate with your eyes open, if you do, you can. You can meditate with your eyes open, but you're not looking at anything. Tibetans say you're looking at the in-between. So you're just aware. I call it awaring. I've said this before. It's not a word. I know it's not a word. But it makes sense, because that's what you're doing. You are being, but you are an aware being. So I say awaring. You're just awaring in a very, very present, clear, wanting to do that. It's kind of like, I really want to know. So you sit and you let go. And you can't change overnight. And these, your experiences will be different every time you sit. Sometimes you're more tired. Sometimes your mind is more busy. But each time you sit, you plant a seed to sit again. And when you sit, sit long enough that you have an opportunity to actually be present for a few minutes, and be satisfied with 10% of your awareness on the object. Don't think, there's a freight train of thought going through here. But if you have 10% here, you are on the object. Even though you're aware of everything else that's going on. And what happens is that eventually, the longer you sit, the more often you sit, it's more and more and more of these things, they just don't bother coming anymore. Because they're never going to get entertained. But if you do, like I used to do many, 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 many years ago, I thought, meditating was sitting. Didn't matter what you did with your mind. So, as long as I looked like I was, then that was okay. So I would, go through the various fantasies. And one of my favorite fantasies was to somehow get a huge amount of money and then find ways to give it, how I was going to give it to people. I was gonna go to this place and I was gonna make that happen. So I'd spend my whole meditation doing that. I remember once one woman, one good friend of mine who's a nun now, and I'm not gonna tell you what her name is. She told me she used to spend time decorating, doing interior decorating. I don't let my mind do that anymore, and I haven't for a number of years, but so it is important not to let yourself do that. Not to think that, okay, just because I'm sitting here and look like I'm in the posture, it's okay if I let my mind go off and have its way. Because if you do that, that's what you're training your mind to do, to just go run amok. It's better if you have a very short meditation session and tether your mind to the object. Say, okay, for 5 minutes, I'm going to start. Do the full package. You sit down, you relax, you breathe 10 breaths, you set a motivation, and then you sit and set a timer, 5 minutes. As soon as you get to that point in your meditation, you see already, by the time you do all of the parts, you will have been sitting for 15 minutes. Yay. Good job. So do the parts, because those are important. You set your motivation, and just doing that, Lama Yeshe used to say, you have like bookends. In the morning you wake up and you set your intention. My intention is to do the best I can today, to be of the greatest benefit and never to harm. Then, at the end of the day, you look, how'd I do? And at the end of the day, if you did some good, you rejoice in that. And that doubles or triples or quadruples the goodness. And then if you made a mistake, you regret. And you say, tomorrow, I want to do a better job. And this way, in time, you practice every day like that, in time, your bad habits fall away. And you wake up in the morning and you go, yay, another day to practice Dharma. Fantastic. And this changes the way you live your life, and it changes what comes before you. What is it William James says? That to which we attend in the moment becomes our reality. So attend to goodness, and it becomes your reality. So when you finish your meditation, after you sit for, you know, set a timer, and you'll think, I remember thinking that 1 minute was probably 20 minutes already, right? So that's why you have to set the timer, because sometimes it just doesn't go so fast that time, you know? And then when the timer goes off, you don't just jump up. You say, great. Excellent. I'm glad that I did that. And now I dedicate that good energy to having enlightenment for myself and all beings. May the goodness in my heart, this bodhicitta that I have, this wish to attain enlightenment, may it grow. Never, never diminish. May everybody have it. So you can make up your own words. Yes, we have the prayers, but it's good to really think it from your heart. You can say the prayer, but not with your lips, with your heart. And then you actually are making a change in your mind, because you're attending to goodness and goodness appears. It happens. You will see it happen. Your life will change. Goodness just appears. Rilpa Rinpoche used to say that when you truly begin to practice Dharma, the food will roll up the hill. And that was true. When I was in 3-year retreat, the food actually did roll up the hill. Yeah. So anyway, I think maybe that's good enough. We can dedicate, right? Since we don't have our gizmo up, and we'd have to scroll through. We can use these, yeah? Do we have it? It's up.
And I've already scrolled it.
You've scrolled it to the prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you good? Do it in English, yeah. By merit of this virtue, may I become Buddha and lead all beings.
And may that born not decline, but in increase more and more.
And let's also dedicate to the long lives of all of our spiritual teachers teaching valid paths to enlightenment. And that a vast rain of Dharma might fall on all our spiritual friends. And we can dedicate personally to those in our lives who need some help now, to places in the world that are full of misery. May they be free of such misery. And may we have enlightened politics. As a result of our goodness. Thank you all very much for coming.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next week, same place, same time.
Same time, same place next week.